Calimera sauce. Calimera sauce. Okay. Nobody knows Calimera sauce? So last Sunday we did Christos Anestis, Alexos Anestis. Calimera sauce is good morning, you all. Had to include the y'all for Hollis and Kathy's sake. Calimera sauce. The sauce is the y'all in Greek. So that's good. Yes, we are in the southern part. Yes. Calimera to one person. Calimera sauce to you all. And welcome back, Hollis and Kathy. Glad for your safe return. Even though you had a bunch of difficulties and delays and all of that, finally made it. And Josh is there practicing his reading for later, so welcome back to you too, Josh.
We're actually talking about Bible study.
Uh-oh. Not allowed in church. Not allowed in church. Sorry. Okay, and Don is back. Glad to have Don back as well. Riker, hi there, buddy. Good to see you this morning. Presume you came in with Dwayne, Uncle Dwayne. Yep, all righty, and Dwayne as well. Ooh, nice. Okay. And the rest of us are who we are. So, who's got a colored bulletin insert today? Anyone? Anyone with a little purple? Yay, Alma. Okay. Alma, who else? Should be another one. Isn't there another one? Somebody? No? No? I don't know how we get messed up with these things, but anyway, only one special. That's Alma today. What do we have for... Would you leave that alone, please? I did the other one. Okay. So what do we got coming up Wednesday, I think? Bible study continuing, John chapter 4, verse 27. Boy, we're making progress now. We're in the fourth chapter. Okay, and a good study Thursday night, Lord willing. A church council meeting. We'll see how that goes. And then next Sunday, he's back. Yes, he is back with his better half there. Am I on my road to Damascus? Hollis thinks he's on his road to Damascus, so we'll see if we want to go with him or not. Okay. And the Bible readings align with that. And 2 weeks, also next Sunday, yes, baptismal service over at North Summit. Let me know if you're... wanting to be a part of that, to be baptized or rebaptized is a possibility. And then in 2 weeks, we're bumping our monthly food and fellowship fair to the next Sunday then. So that won't be till the 25th. All righty. And in front of your bulletin, says in Genesis chapter 41, so Pharaoh said to them, asked them, can we find anyone like this man, this one, In whom is the Spirit of God? That's the main thing. Joseph later said to his brothers, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. We celebrate the Spirit and salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus today, as pictured in the life of Joseph. So let's open our hearts to that as we begin. Father, as always, we're thankful for your love and your goodness and your faithfulness that brings us into your house today, rejoicing with those who are able to be with us and uplifting those who are not. And as always, Lord, we just pray your Spirit's anointing and blessing and filling in this place as we celebrate who you are and what you offer to us, and we open our hearts to more and more of you, and pray that you'll... bless each one at their point of need and help us to just focus on you, what you have for us today. We give you praise for it in your son's name. Amen. Stand and greet someone. Give them a big hope because of that. Sing like... Well, they're coming. The readers are moving. Kathy's got one too. She's coming. And I think that's maybe it. Is Josh coming back or did he give you... Okay. Okay, that's fine. You can just read it from the wall if you need to. You've got it? Oh, you got it. Okay. Jimbo's coming. All righty. God bless our little rugrats. Love those little rascals.
God bless their parents.
And their parents, Jimbo and Brittany, we're blessed to have you with us. Yes. Would you hurry up and get in your place, Jimbo? Come on, you slacker. Slacker. Comes all the way from Hayden to join us. All right. Well, we're continuing in this theme that Anita loves, Meeking Jesus number one in 2021. And we've been looking at, off and on, Old Testament pictures of Jesus leading up to him in the process of meeking and meekification. Mike, yes. And we've looked so far at the word of the word. Let's see, Arche, arms and anchor. Abraham's ram, and today Joseph's Jesus journey, looking at the similarities between Joseph and what he went through and Jesus, and how that's a picture foreshadowing what Jesus did for us and offers to us today. And of course, as always, we want to apply these things to our own lives and allow the Lord to do the work within us, as he did with Joseph, Jesus, and a lot of these other folks as well. So we begin with what we might call juvenile. What happened, huh? Juvenile jealousy. Juvenile jealousy. All right. Genesis 37, please, Alan.
Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheave rose, stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
All righty. So, as we know, prior to that, Jacob had given Joseph a coat of many colors because he was his beloved son, and the others were jealous of him already. Then Joseph has this dream on top of it where it appears that he's dreamed that he's going to rule over them. So they're all the more hateful and jealous. But the father, Jacob, kept the matter in mind. This just little piece right there I want to lift up momentarily, because it's another little picture preceding what Jesus was all about. From Luke chapter 2.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart.
So I just wanted to paint a little parallel there between Jacob and Mary as well. Jacob, the father of Joseph, Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus, and how God had already implanted in their hearts and minds that this particular one is kind of special. Joseph in the case of Jacob, Jesus in the case of Mary. And so they were pondering these things and wondering, what is this all about? And what is the Lord going to do through Joseph, Jesus? And I trust that we can also receive from the Lord the understanding that we can have an understanding, an insight into what he wants to do in our lives, and that we should ponder these things. We should open our hearts and take time to give it some more consideration so the Lord can really set it in deeply for us. So I wanted to just lift that up as well. But then there's this matter of jealousy. And of course, as we know in Jesus' life, there's a lot of jealousy going on there, particularly from the Pharisees. We talked about this in the Bible study as well, and the hatred there because Jesus was threatening their position and all of that. And so the brothers of Joseph kind of foreshadow this as well. But we see Joseph's brothers, the way they treated Jesus would be like people treated. I said that wrong, didn't I? Okay, so you understood what I was saying, though. Do I need to repeat it? Foreshadowed what Jesus had to experience as well. And it will be with us, because Jesus said so in John chapter 15.
If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world.
Can you relate to this at all? Jesus was not only talking to his disciples at that time, but of course to every disciple who comes along ever since 2,000 years later. And I would say it's a good word to describe what's going on in our country presently, juvenile. It is really just juvenile. It's a joke in a lot of ways. Sadly, it's not a joke in essence. It's really becoming more and more, as the scriptures proclaimed and Jesus said, we're his disciples, we're following him, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be hated. People are going to be jealous of the favor they see in our lives and want it, but they don't want to surrender to the Lord in order able to get it. And so we see that picture in Joseph and his brothers, in Jesus, what he had to undergo. And it's becoming more and more true in our own lives. And so we can apply these things to us. So we can't be surprised that what's happening. We can be saddened in a sense. Hopefully our sadness will lead to more intensive prayer and asking the Lord to work his ultimate purpose through it all, as he's going to. But we really can be a part of it if we meditate on it and if we ponder these things in our heart as Jacob and Mary did. So this is juvenile jealousy that the Lord gives us victory over. Not only did Jacob favor Joseph, but God also favored him. We see this in, secondly, in what we would call the Father's favor. The Father's favor, Genesis 39 now.
The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did.
Isn't that just marvelous? Joseph's there in prison. I mean, he's sold by his brothers. He's going through this difficult, very difficult trial. But God is blessing him because of his faith in him and his surrender to the Lord. And this favor is promised. I don't share this little tidbit to brag. It's just a good practical personal experience. When we were in our time of limbo in Vancouver, I worked with Domino's Pizza. I was the kind of the lunch shift guy, and the manager, when I hired on, said, would you be willing to do what we call hot sales? Because all the other Domino's in the Portland, Vancouver metro area had stopped doing them because they weren't working. I said, what's hot sales? Well, we make pre-made pizza. You go out and sell them half price, and you get a little, you know, a portion of each one and that sort of thing. And I said, well, sure, let's give it a shot. I go out, the first 12 door knows I'm going, maybe this isn't such a hot idea after all, these hot sales. No wonder they're giving them up. Well, the Lord gave me favor, and it ended up, long story short, that I was making like $20 an hour for a 10-hour shift. I'd go home with $200 cash. Kathy and Johnine were so impressed, they called me John Joe. Added the Joe for the favor and the blessing, the success that God was granting, even in such a ridiculous little endeavor. But that's just one example. And Joseph obviously was favored by the Lord. Each one of us not only myself, each one of us, and you can give testimonies yourself when the Lord has given you favor and success in something that was obviously His doing, not your own doing. All right? And so that's the picture we see in Joseph. Spoken also of Samuel and Jesus in 1 Samuel and Luke 2. Do you have that, Linda? Oh, sorry.
And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man.
Thank you. So, all righty. Thank you, Linda. So the point being, Samuel, Jesus, others have received God's favor and blessing as they followed Him. Solomon then speaks about trusting the Lord with all your heart. You all know that passage of Scripture, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It's kind of a familiar. The prelude to that from Joshua or from Solomon gives the basis for that favor in our lives in Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 1.
My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight.
Yes, and so we have that familiar promise from the Lord, but the favor that He grants to us, as Solomon gives to us, depends on us being willing to surrender to Him, keep His commands, seek and desire His blessing and His guidance in our lives, and it will happen. God keeps up His part of the bargain. We're the ones that kind of fall short sometimes. But as long as we're desiring and following and being obedient to Him, trust and obey, for there's no other way to receive the Father's favor but to trust and obey. Basically, it's what Solomon was saying there, trusting in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so then this leads to the third parallel between Joseph and Jesus, which is something we might call spirit service. Spirit service. And after telling and interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, this is what Pharaoh said of Joseph in Genesis 41.
So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people will submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you."
Isn't it wonderful how Pharaoh was able to identify why Joseph was different than the others and why he wanted to give him favor and to let him be elevated in his service? It was because, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? When Pharaoh's able to see that, you know that there's something really genuine and true going on there. And so that's why Pharaoh just pretty much gave his kingdom over to Joseph. And, of course, we know the result of that, how God used Joseph to not only save those in Egypt, but also all those who came to Egypt because of the great famine that was widespread through that area. So this foreshadowed again the same essence in Jesus' service, which is in Luke chapter 4.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised Him. He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue, as was His custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Jesus moved in the power of the Spirit, and he declared, the Spirit is upon me, therefore I'm anointed to do these things. So we saw in Joseph, we see in Jesus. The question is, will it be true in our lives as well? Both Jesus and the Apostle Paul declared that this can be the case for us in Acts chapter 1 and Romans 7.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Very good, Don. But can you reread that and emphasize the so that, please? That last part?
I've got to find the so that.
Just the last part. Halfway through that last verse.
But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Thank you, Don. The therefore there, the result of, so that you can serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way according to the law, not just the best you can do and, willpower and all of that, legalism, garbage, but in the new way of the Spirit. To serve in the Spirit is a joy, it's a blessing, even in the difficult times, even when the task the Lord gives you may be difficult, like putting up with you people. Ouch. Thank you, Duane, for that affirmation. Look at that smile. That's what, two-way street, yeah. Okay, so the Spirit can give, enable you as well. Now, that's the point we're trying to make here. And so we have Spirit service, which is a privilege that the Lord offers to us as well. Then, fourthly, what Joseph and Jesus suffered ultimately led to salvation, suffering salvation. Do you want to suffer a little bit? There's a hymn we could have sang, Suffering with the Savior. I'm kind of losing it, but anyway. This is found in Genesis 45.
Then Jesus said to his brothers.
Joseph.
Excuse so, me.
That's all right.
Joseph,
we're still with Joseph.
There will be no plowing and reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
Isn't it wonderful that Joseph was able to see and understand why he had to go through all of this? He said to his brothers, you thought, you know, this was your doing. You thought you intended me harm, but God intended all of this for good. And so he was able to freely forgive his brothers. He saw the good that God was working out of this, that his suffering God was using to be the salvation source for not only, as we said, all of Egypt, but of course the brothers had come from a long distance sent by their father to get some food in Egypt. And he said God did this to save lives and for there to be a great deliverance. Well, that obviously is a foreshadowing of what God did through Jesus. But then after Jacob died, the brothers were still fearful that, well, now that Dad's dead, maybe Joseph, you know, is going to change his mind. What does he say to them in Genesis 50?
But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.
Yeah, I love that question Joseph asked. Am I in the place of God? You fear me? Don't fear me. God is the one we need to worry about. But because Joseph understood his place, he said, I'm leaving that to God. I'm here because God wanted to use me to save others and yourself as well, the saving of many lives. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate example of that heart of forgiveness and being able to offer himself as a suffering source of salvation. We see that on the cross in Luke 23.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting.
Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The most precious words, I think, ever expressed. And, of course, it was on the cross. He's in the throes of death, and the suffering was more than anyone can imagine. Not just the physical suffering, but, of course, the weight of sin. We can't even imagine what that's like. I mean, we can feel sometimes the weight of our own sin. But can you imagine the weight of the whole world's sin upon you and the Father turning his face away because he couldn't look on it? It's beyond description. But in the midst of that, in that very moment, Jesus said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And so it's not to excuse our sin, but it's to understand the attitude and the perspective that Jesus had, Joseph had the same thing. We need to have the same thing. People are going to harm us. They might intentionally do something to make us suffer. Or are we going to be able to have the grace and the forgiveness that Jesus did for us? That's the question. The Lord's Prayer gives us an opportunity to express that, and then what Jesus said following the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6.
"And forget us our debts, as we forgive those who have forgiven our debtors." And then in 14 and 15, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins."
And Ephesians, please.
And Ephesians.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
"Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you."
Heavy words, Jesus said, aren't they? Heavy words. We pray, "Father, forgive us as we forgive others." Okay? It's part of the Lord's Prayer. Kind of easy to pray sometimes without really thinking about it. But then when Jesus goes on to say, if you don't forgive someone else's sins, yours won't be forgiven. That's pretty heavy stuff. Why is that? Because there is a true experience of God's grace and mercy that needs to be expressed in our lives so that others can be saved as well. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I ask the Lord to give me that attitude in that heart many times when I'm feeling like someone else needs forgiven. Even though they might in their minds do it intentionally, in their hearts they're still so blinded by the enemy that sometimes they're just really not understanding what they're doing and maybe not doing it intentionally. Regardless, we leave that to God. "Am I in the place of God?" Joseph said. No. It's mine to just forgive and leave the rest to the Lord. Only God can enable us to do that. We have to surrender to his Spirit in order to have that kind of love and forgiveness for others. Finally, we highlight Joseph's Jesus journey with a fruitful finale. Yay! All right. Genesis 49.
"Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attack him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber, because they had of the Almighty One of Jacob, because of the Shepherd, the Rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helped you. because of the Almighty, who blessed you with blessings of the skies above, blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the beasts and womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounties of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the heads of Joseph, on the brow of his of the prince among his brothers.
Yes. These are the words of Jacob giving blessings to his children, and upon Joseph he said, Joseph is a fruitful vine. He's the prince among his brothers. He recognized that God had used Joseph to bear fruit in marvelous, beautiful ways, saving many hearts and all of that, but displaying especially the glory and the power of the work of God in his life, and many others drawn to him as a result of it. So all these blessings that Jacob is speaking of course, are the Heavenly Father's blessings upon Joseph for that. And of course, we see the fruit of Jesus' life as well. We don't have to recount all of that. Hopefully, it's being born in our lives. The fruit is still being born and fruitful in a way that God is giving us the opportunity for. Jesus and Paul both give us the encouragement and the challenge to this in John 15 and Colossians 1.
I am the vine, you are my branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, so that you may live in a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God.
Yeah, like the way that Paul picks up the so that from what Jesus had said. Well, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can bear nothing, no fruit. Stay connected to me, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. And this is to the Father's glory. Picture of Joseph's life, picture of Jesus' life, picture of our life. If we will abide in the vine, we can be fruitful finale, as it were, to what Jesus has offered to us. Paul said, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. What again is the knowledge of God? It is that personal experience of him, participating in his divine nature, having a real experience of God in our lives, knowing him in a personal way. It's not just head knowledge, it's that real experience, his spirit within us, allowing him to live in us, bearing fruit in us and through us, for others' sake as well as his glory. I am the vine, you are the branches. And so we sing the song, you are the vine, we are the branches. Keep us abiding in you. Because in that way, as we go, we can share your love, we can share the good news that you save, that you heal, all of that. That's my response to the Lord's message this morning. I know that it'll be your response as well. As we stand and sing, you are the vine. May it be your prayer and your answer to the Lord this morning. As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here. us. Father, that is our prayer. Keep us abiding in you. You're the vine, we're not. We're the branches, and what a privilege and blessing it is to be branches of you, to extend your love and your forgiveness and your mercy and grace, your saving and healing power to others. Thank you, Lord, for the picture that we see in Joseph that foreshadowed you, but you are the ultimate picture. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. And in the process of becoming more like you, it's making you number one in 2021. Thank you, Lord, again. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading and obedient. We're thankful again for the freedom, the health to be here today, mindful of a number that aren't able to be with us because of health issues and needing your continued healing touch. We continue to lift up Sue to you and Bulldog and Libby. And this morning we got a call and Cheryl's dealing with the flu and Tom a little bit. Pray your blessing on them and Dee as well. And Joel, others, Lord, that well, we continue to remember Mike. We're thankful that he was able to get up here to Sandpoint, mostly for Frida's sake. And we just pray your continued blessing for both of them. Bless Frida as she continues to care for him. And thank you, Lord, that for these and others that I'm probably forgetting, that you don't forget, and that we can just offer each one to you. Also, not only for physical healing, but those especially that are needing spiritual healing. Think of my brother Chiz and others that many of us have been praying for many years, perhaps. But we know that your love is unending. And so we trust in that as we lift these to you. Pray that they will experience your saving touch as well. Thank you, Lord, that as other expressions of petition and praise are offered to you, that you are receiving them.